Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
Good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Very pleased to have with us today for his, I thought it was his first time he's been on Straight Talk, but it wasn't. He's been on here before, but not by himself. Today, we got him all to ourselves. His name is Ben Leader. He's with Elrod, with the Elrod Pope Law Firm. And we're going to learn all about what these guys do day in and day out, because it's an interesting profession that they're in. So, Ben, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Manning. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on the show with you.
I should say that Ben is the host of the Elrod Pope Law Firm CN2 program, Local Justice, which airs every week on CN2. It's an interesting program you do. You have different people in there all the time. It's kind of like a Straight Talk. I thought it was going to be all lawyers, but that's not it. You bring in all kinds of people.
That's right.
Just to talk about the community. Good. Okay, so tell everybody a little bit about Ben Leader.
Sure. So I was born and raised in Rock Hill. My dad practiced law. It was Elrod Jones Leader and Benson back in the day. prior to that, it was the Elrod Law Firm. And so I grew up around the same people, the same lawyers, same building that, you know, I'm working out of now. Went to Northwestern High School, Sullivan Middle School, went off to Clemson for my undergraduate studies, and, you know, never really planned on being back in this area. And then 10 years later, here I am, you know, practicing law at the same firm dad was with, and went to law school in Raleigh, North Carolina for 3 years and had a good stint there where I met my wife, Lauren Leader. Came back and clerked for the late Judge Hayes for a year.
Oh, boy.
One of the best experiences of my life. Such a great guy and just a kind person. So learned a lot.
I have to tell you my John Hayes story. I was pulled in a jury pool, and I thought they would exempt me because I'm in the media business. I was accepted, and Judge Hayes says, "You know what, Manning? I'm going to make you the jury foreman." I said, "Okay, we got through it." Anyway, life went on. So when we talk about the Elrod Pope Law Firm, you went through the various iterations. It started how long ago?
So it started in 1980. Luke Elrod had finished his service with the JAG Department of the Army and came back and opened up the Elrod Law Firm here on Black Street. And the mission from the firm from a very early age was to help injured workers. That was really our bread and butter, was what we call workers' compensation. And for years, Luke established himself as one of the kind of go-to workers' comp lawyers in the area. And, you know, there was a lot more industry, mills, textile mills,
sure,
all sorts of, you know, blue-collar jobs that often resulted in injuries. And I think Luke really carved out a niche and built really a statewide practice for helping injured workers.
So now your dad and Benson, when did they come in?
Yeah, so dad joined Luke in 1988. I think David Benson was somewhere around that same time as well. Tony Jones, judge, the late Judge Jones, also joined him. So at one point it was Elrod Jones, Leader, and Benson. And I think when Tommy Pope joined, they realized we probably shouldn't keep adding, you know, names on to names. And so then it became the Elrod Pope Law Firm. And that was right as he was transitioning out of the solicitor's office, kind of going into private practice. And it was kind of the perfect arrangement to bring Tommy in and really develop more of a civil injury practice in addition to the workers' comp practice.
So you have how many attorneys down there now?
So we have 8 attorneys currently. We are up to 54 total team members now.
So 54?
We've got 54 employees. The vast majority of which are from York County. So really proud of a number of people we're able to employ now. And that number has essentially quadrupled over the last 4 or 5 years.
I don't think anybody understands how much detail work is involved in any type of legal case. And you got to have a small army of people to do that, help you with that work. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to do anything.
That's right. A lot of attention to detail, and something we briefly touched on before the show was just the time that these cases take. The life of a case is a lot longer than most people realize, I think.
So let's talk about that. Now that you brought it up, you're right. None of us have any idea how long it takes to see a case finalized. If I were to walk into your office today and tell you that I slipped on Charlie Ruffalo's floor here and hurt something anyway. But seriously, if I was to walk into your office today, the average case, how long does it take to get a case on average resolved?
Yeah, so on average, it's about a year is how long it takes. But, you know, 80%+ of those cases resolve without going into a lawsuit. And if it actually goes into the litigation process, you're looking at more 3 to 4 year process from start to finish.
3 to 4 years.
That's right.
How can anybody remember what happened 3 or 4 years ago?
that's a difficult part of it is, you know, being deposed 3 or 4 years after an accident and having to remember, you know, every detail and have your words used against you. It can be a very long and, you know, cumbersome process.
Mm. So for people who don't understand, when we talk about and this is what civil litigation, is that what this is?
That's right. Personal injury law. It's a part of civil litigation.
A lot of the cases that walk in to your firm are people who have been injured somehow, and they are basically at odds with an insurance company in terms of trying to get a fair settlement, correct?
That's correct.
And do you initially try to, I'm sure you do, when you sit down and you go through your analysis with a client, do you try to find out really what has been offered and what you think would be fair and say, yay, I think he got a case. No, I don't think he got a case.
Absolutely. We have to have a very thorough vetting process of every case. And we actually accept less than 20% of the total calls we get.
Really?
And, you know, our model is based on a contingency fee, which I think a lot of lawyers think everybody understands that. But I think the general public may not realize that, you know, we don't get paid unless we obtain a successful recovery for our client. And so we get a percentage out of what we get for the client. And so, you know, I know there's a lot of concern about frivolous lawsuits, but the last thing on earth that I want to do is take on a case that is a loser that I'm not going to be able to make a living off of and, you know, drag a client through a 3-year process if we don't think we can, you know, provide a result for them.
Now, keep in mind, now, this contingency fee basis is what, a third? Is that basically
how
it works?
That's typically what it is.
Okay. So, in the course of multiple years, your meter keeps running for all the people who have to do all the work, all the things that you have to file with the court, all the witnesses you have to bring, all the experts you have to hire. Am I doing pretty well here?
That's exactly right. Yeah, and we fund, you know, the entirety of the cost. And a lot of times those do involve extensive expert witnesses, accident reconstructionists, engineers. And, you know, for a case to actually go to trial, it's not unheard of to have, you know, 6 figures worth of cost invested in that case.
Ooh.
And so, yeah, we've learned the hard way a few times that, you know, that putting it in 12, you know, York County residents' hands, it's not always the predictable result you think you're going to get. And so we've got to be very selective with, you know, what we take and, you know, ensure that it's a solid case, both on what we call liability and on damages, so that, you know, we can ultimately be successful.
So when you have to deliver the bad news that this is a case that we don't think we're going to be able to win or do any better for you than what you've been offered, how do you break that news to them?
This was a good lesson I learned early in my career from my dad, Jack Leader, who I had the privilege of being able to work with for 10 years before he passed away. And, you know, it sounds so simple and so easy, but it's just be honest and be transparent with them. If you tell them, look, here's how this process works, here's why we don't think it's going to be worth your time and money to go through it, they really do appreciate that much more than we've got too many cases, sorry, we can't help yours. A lot of lawyers will tell people, oh, you've got a good case, but we don't have capacity to accept it right now. And those clients would much rather just hear the reality of the situation, which is the law is not in your favor. You know, we encourage you to get second opinions, but here's why we don't think we can win.
So if the average case is taking basically a year to get resolved, you have to be juggling a lot of balls in the air at one time. I mean, how many cases can the average attorney handle with all this going on?
That's right. There's a lot going on. And, you know, the longer a case is in the process, generally the more resources, the more manpower it takes. Once it starts getting into the litigation process, you have a lot more activity going on in that case, depositions, hearings, you know, court requirements. And so it's like a snowball rolling downhill, really, as it goes through the process.
All right. So if you are in one of these elongated cases and it doesn't come out the way you want it to come out, do you do a thing called an appeal, which is just going to take this out even longer?
Yeah, in certain cases, it's really our only option, but it's kind of a case-by-case basis. You know, if the jury ultimately just decided against us and not in our favor, but, you know, had a good basis for it, or a judge decided something along those lines, you know, there may not be a valid appeal. But if, you know, there was evidence allowed into a case that shouldn't have been allowed in, or a really, you know, detailed issue that we can shine a light on, that would open the door for a potential appeal. But we've had a case that has lasted longer than a decade.
Hello?
That went through appeal.
A lot longer than a decade.
Longer than a decade, yep.
Is that when the partners sit around the table and say, what are we doing here?
There's a lot of worry during that process, that's for sure.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, the system, and then you throw COVID in the midst where the court systems got, you know, completely shut down for, you know, several years, really, and it created quite a log jam. So, you know, from the day you file the lawsuit, you're usually looking at 15 to 18 months before you actually have a court date.
Wow. Wow. And that's just because we're so stacked and packed in the court system? I mean, we're just that far behind?
Yeah, so there's a lot of cases. You know, the growth in York County, you know, a huge majority of those cases are not injury law cases, but, you know, everything under the sun, you know, requires the same process. And so a lot of growth in York County, a lot of cases, a lot of activity on the public index, and you've kind of got to wait your turn in rotation and, you know, be ready when the time comes.
Okay, so again, somebody's going to listen to this program, think that they could get some help from you all. What are you going to tell them that they need to be thinking about before they walk in the door? Thinking about, you know, in terms of making sure that they have X, Y, and Z that you're looking for.
Yeah. I think one of the most important things is just documenting everything you can. You know, a lot of people think that they're going to remember specifics about an accident that was a traumatic event in their life. But, you know, witnesses move out of town, you know, things disappear, evidence gets deleted from video cameras. And so really preserving everything you can preserve at the onset of that case is critical, because it may be 2 or 3 years down the road when you need to rely on that video footage to prove you are not at fault. And so, you know, documenting everything. I tell a lot of clients, you can't send me too many photos. You can't send me too many videos. I would rather have way more than we need than not have enough evidence to prove your case.
As my friend and your friend John Geddes always says, facts are a stubborn thing.
That's
and
right.
The more facts you have, the better your case is going to be. I have to think that in all these cases that you handle over all these years, you get a certain way down the path in a case, and all of a sudden, surprise,
oh, yeah,
something pops up that nobody told me about or we didn't know about.
That's right. That's right. There's always surprises. You know, I like to be on the side of discovering the surprises and not finding out about the surprises. But, you know, every lawyer who, you know, litigates any cases has probably been surprised at a deposition a time or two and, you know, had to pivot and adjust.
So explain to all of us who are not attorneys what the word discovery means.
So discovery is the phase of the litigation process after a lawsuit's filed where each side has the right to ask questions and request documents. And so I could send you a list of questions that you would have to answer in return. You can do the same for me. And this includes everything from, you know, basic background information about your life, how many accident claims you've had, to, you know, specific medical details about medical records, you know, doctors you've seen as a result of the wreck. It's really the opportunity for both sides to go digging for as much as, you know, information as they can that is relevant to the case that they can use to prove their case.
So your advice to your client is you have to tell me everything. Everything. I don't want to be surprised in the courtroom when they find something out that I didn't know.
That's right. Document everything. Preserve everything is a huge one. You know, we can deal with a problem if we know about it. You know, we can come up with a strategy and, you know, be able to do the best job we can to address it. But if we don't know about something that find out the hard way, you know, there's not a lot that any lawyer can do to stop the damage at that point. And so, you know, preserving everything, documenting everything, even things that you think hurt your case, is critical to tell your lawyer about those at the early stage of the process.
So while all this is going on, you're talking to the council that's representing, let's say, the insurance company.
That's right.
Saying, we've got this. Isn't there some way that we can, you know, mutually come to an agreement on this so that we don't have to go through what's down the road?
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, roughly 80% of our cases don't ever see a lawsuit. And, you know, I'll be the first to admit, I don't like lawsuits. I don't like litigation. It's a very time-consuming process. It's a very expensive process. And so, you know, we do try to go above and beyond to give every case the best chance of being resolved short of having to file that lawsuit. It's just unfortunate that oftentimes we don't have an option when somebody refuses to accept any responsibility or an insurance company, you know, refuses to even cover medical bills from an accident.
But I think the other side of that is, let's say the insurance company says, look, we're willing to offer this. And you might think that that's a pretty good offer. And then the client says, oh, no. I think I'm entitled to more. And so you have to be, again, honest with them to say, look, you have to make the decision. But if we go on with this thing, the whole thing may blow up.
That's right. You got to be very upfront with setting boundaries. And, you know, there's a lot of marketing in the PI or the personal injury world these days. And you see a lot of big numbers thrown up on billboards and, you know, all over social media where people, you know, say, I got $6.5 million. And it may be the biggest case that firm's ever had and a huge outlier result. But, you know, every person that sees that billboard has that expectation that, you know, their case may be worth a lot more than it really is. And so from the very onset of a case, we're often having to bring people back to reality from some of the marketing they see out there that grossly inflates these expectations and makes people think that they deserve, you know, a lot more money than their case is realistically worth. But I'll tell you, York County jurors, you're not going to pull a fast one on York County jurors. I mean, they are smart enough to pick up on when somebody's being, you know, real and legitimate with their injuries, and they're also very wise to pick up on when a case is not legitimate. And so the last thing I want to do is stand in front of 12 York County residents with a case that doesn't have any merit, because I know good and well they will punish me for it, they'll punish the client for it. You know, they see right through it.
And all it takes is one.
That's right.
One juror can screw up everything that you've worked years and years on.
It's got to be a unanimous result. And so, you know, I tell a lot of people that give me a hard time about, you know, ambulance chasing and, you know, injury law jokes. You know, I would invite any of them to stand in front of 12 strangers in York County and convince them to award somebody money they don't deserve, because it doesn't happen.
So, you know, that's an interesting thing you point out. How do you answer somebody who says, you're nothing but an ambulance chaser? You're just, you know, that you're not providing any worthwhile service. What do you say to them on that?
That's right. Well, I used to let it bother me a lot more than I do now. But, you know, I see another side to it that the general public doesn't see. You know, I'm the one, you know, walking into the hospital room when they're hooked up to all the machines beeping and, you know, sitting with their family members and, you know, visiting them in their home and seeing a bedroom that hasn't been touched, you know, 3 years after somebody passed away. And so I see the human side of it that a lot of the general public doesn't see. You know, they see the advertising side of it, you know, that I was referencing earlier, the billboards and big numbers, but they don't see the human side of it. And so, you know, I take the approach that you can kind of call me whatever you want, but, you know, we're still going to be here when somebody needs us.
Well, and the fact of the matter is that most of the people, I think, who walk into you for help are in a position where they can't afford to have good legal counsel represent them in a case that they think needs to be resolved.
That's exactly right. I think one of the beautiful things about our model is that it does allow us to offer our services to everybody and not just a, you know, a portion of society that can afford lawyers, but anybody that has been wronged by the system, you know, has an opportunity to have a injury lawyer, you know, without a cost to them up front.
Okay, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to Piedmont Medical Network, a community built on care. Find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com. Okay, it is your time now to shine and glow. We're here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. What we do here is fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week right before your eyes. How we do it is in the white letters, and we'd like you all to participate at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice. Garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
The food, the number 19 is the best.
When I want lunch, I come to Substation 2 because I can't remember never not coming here.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Start your journey with a new auto loan. Get on the road with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. From city streets to off-road trails, your journey begins here. Our competitive rates can get you on the road in a ride that fits your lifestyle and budget, with no payments for up to 90 days. You can apply for a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days before you start shopping. Visit one of our many convenient office locations or go to foundersfcu.com/auto to apply for an auto loan today. Membership qualification required. See webpage for details.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
More than 40 years ago, Piedmont Medical Center opened with a promise to provide compassionate, high-quality care. This year, we step forward as Piedmont Medical Network. 2 hospitals, 4 emergency departments, and hundreds of dedicated physicians evolving to care for you today and for generations to come. As we grow and expand, one thing remains the same: our commitment to caring for our neighbors. We are Piedmont Medical Network. Find a doctor at piedmontmedicalnetwork.com/about.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to andersongriggs.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
The hot meatball subs with jalapenos.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Very interesting interview conversation with Ben Leader, managing partner for the Elrod Pope Law Firm here in Rock Hill. We're talking all about the kind of stuff that they do down there, which is very, very interesting. But, you know, the world keeps changing. And we have this these conglomerates that come into all kinds of business and industry across the country and just kind of crunch it and try to get the most money out of the doggone thing they can. And then before you know it, the business is gone. Boom.
That's right.
I'm told that this is happening as well in the legal business.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is the case. We are seeing a lot of change right now by way of private equity and outside capital flooding into the legal space, and in particular, the personal injury space is the one that they seem to be the most infatuated with right now. And so, you know, some of it's public information, a lot of it's not, similar to the medical entities that, you know, they're doing it by way of managed services organizations. So they're creating these MSO entities to come in and essentially run the law firms, and they've tried to divide that up from the practice of law and let the lawyers practice law, and these outside businesses, you know, run the entities themselves.
So the downside of this, from your perspective?
Oh, I think there's, you know, the laundry list of downsides, but, you know, the overarching, you know, principle I think that concerns me the most is that, you know, lawyers traditionally have had fiduciary duties to their clients and only their clients. You know, every decision I make is made in the best interest of my client, and it concerns me that there may be, you know, investors, outside money that plays a role in that. We talked a lot about the lifespan of an injury case can take 4 or 5 years. You know, we know that a lot of these private equity groups like to roll these companies up in, you know, a 2 to 3 year timeline. And so that doesn't even give these cases enough time to fully play out through the process. And so I'm afraid what you're going to see is, you know, decisions being made to benefit investors and outside, you know, capital versus the clients themselves. And, you know, I struggle to think of any industry that we can confidently say, oh, this is much better because private equity's come in and gotten their hands on it. But, you know, we're seeing it here in South Carolina. We're seeing it locally where, you know, firms are working in conjunction with these investors to, you know, flood advertising with capital. And I think it's a disservice to the clients at the end of the day.
Well, most private equity investors are looking for money back as quick as they can get it.
That's right.
And that's what you're talking about.
That's right.
And again, if you take a look at a lot of these companies that have been sucked up by private equity firms, they're not around too much longer. They're going to bleed them what they can bleed them, and that's it.
That's right. So, you know, as a consumer, I think one of the first questions I would ask a law firm is, you know, are you an independent law firm? You know, do your attorneys own your law firm, or are there outside investors involved?
Good point. And if you're a private, anything involving private equity is probably not going to be involved in the community whatsoever.
That's exactly right.
And you guys, you're all over the place. You're doing all kinds of stuff.
That's right. We view that as one of our biggest differentiators. You know, it's harder to compete than it ever has been before with the amount of money and capital that we're up against and the deeper pockets. But we view our ties to the community as really our backbone and our lifeline, you know, to be able to serve this community for another, you know, 40 plus years. And so we have really kind of doubled down in our community service and our local efforts to really be everywhere as much as we can and be supporting the same folks that have supported our firm for 46 years.
Well, case in point is something that you have coming up here shortly. Let's put it that way. With a new school year. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we're super excited to be the presenting sponsor for an idea that we've had in mind for a couple of years, but we call it Project Backpack. The official title is the Back to School Block Party, and it's going to be at Saluda Trail Middle School Saturday, July 25th from 9 a.m. to noon. And we will be giving away more than $30,000 worth of school supplies, backpacks. We're going to have health screenings out there. We're going to have free Kona ice, and we've really tried to make it just a fun and enjoyable environment for anybody in Rock Hill School District that has any needs whatsoever can come by and get free backpack, free school supplies, get some health screenings, some dental exams, and get some free ice cream on their way out. And really, you know, if we can benefit one family, one child by doing this, you know, it's a win in our book.
Good for you. Back to school, what's it called?
Block party.
Block party. All right. Robert, you're too old to go. You can't go. All right. Well, I mean, that's just one of a myriad of things that I know that you do. But I want to touch back on what you do with your program, Local Justice. This is on CN2. You host it every week. And it's not about what we're talking about here today. You're showcasing other members of the community. I was even surprised you're showcasing other lawyers that are in the community.
That's right.
I said, what the heck's he doing up there, showcasing the other lawyer? But, I mean, that's your whole approach. You're very community-oriented in this thing.
That's right. We wanted to differentiate ourselves in some way, and we still do a lot of the same advertising that other law firms do, but, you know, you see 100 billboards, and they all say injured, ? You know, there's not a lot that differentiates one firm from another, and we felt like this was a good way to shine a spotlight on a lot of people in the community that aren't often highlighted, like a lot of the law enforcement guys. And we started out thinking it would be more of a legal kind of call-in show, and it's developed into, we've realized that the public likes hearing from law enforcement better than they do the lawyers. So, you know, we try to keep a steady mix of anybody that has any real remote tie to justice in any way, just to hear about what they do. And, you know, it's shockingly, a lot of the people in the community don't understand the different levels of city versus county, you know, government or law enforcement. And so it's just more of an educational marketing opportunity.
So I've saved the last 30 seconds for a question that you don't have to answer. Does Tommy Pope do any work anymore?
We still get a good bit of work out of Tommy. Now, he might not be in his office doing the work every day, but he's still very engaged. I think the best thing was we brought his son on as our newest associate attorney.
Oh, really?
Preston Pope. He finished law school and clerked for Judge McKinnon last year and joined our firm in August.
So
our best way of keeping Tommy around was going to be to have the next generation in line there for
him. Well, his son will just push him out of the way and make room for the next generation. Ben, thanks very much for being with us today on our Straight Talk program. Appreciate all that you do down at L. Rob Pope Law Firm. And again, if you need help, that's where to go. L. Rob Pope Law Firm. You can't miss them. They're right across from City Hall. down there in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
That's right. Well, we appreciate it, Manny. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure to catch up with you.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Okay, here we go. One more time. What we do here at Substation 2, ladies and gentlemen, fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week. If I get that guy Neil up there to pay some attention to me, hey, Neil, it's your chance. Here we go. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.